And then, you know, there's a lot of development type stuff that people like myself like to do, where I'm actually working with the product in the code, building out sample code for POCs, for trailheads, demos for things like TDX and stuff. I really enjoy that because that gives me a chance to really immerse myself in it and understand it. So I'm probably a little odd as a product manager in that sense because I'm more hands-on, but I feel like it really gives me a chance to really understand what the product can do. When I ask for something, I know I can guarantee it can be done because I can go do it with the current product. You know,
that is Skip Saul, Senior Director of Product Management for Einstein Analytics here at Salesforce. I'm Josh Burke, a developer evangelist for Salesforce, and here on the Salesforce Developer Podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we sit down and talk with Skip about a wide variety of topics around analytics. But to kick things off, I asked him about how things have been going since we did that little Tableau purchase.
So it's actually pretty cool because, they're, new to Salesforce. They have, a different kind of culture, which they really are. They're super enthusiastic about Salesforce. I think they see us and they see a lot of similarities and they like all the things they see, all the opportunity. But they are a mostly on-prem technology with some cloud presence, whereas we're fully, cloud native, if you will. We're one of the original cloud companies, if you, want to think of it that way. So there's a big difference in the way the tech is done. And the way that the customers are approached. Now, their customer base and our customer base are not really the same. We're largely enterprise customer base. They have some enterprise presence, but they also appeal to shops that are more on-premise, traditional analytics and that kind of thing. So they have a lot of strengths in places we could never get to at Salesforce. And we were oftentimes tied to the CRM deals. We're part of the Salesforce sales cycle. We didn't sell a ton outside of that. So there were some differences there. But on the tech side, we're working on how to integrate these things. So this includes on the back end, on the data side, everything from common data stores to common connectors up to the component side. So the Tableau folks have an initial Lightning Web Component prototype that they've put out there. It's not public yet, but they're going to show it at TDX, for example. So we can add that into a Lightning page, and we have our corresponding components. And what we're doing is working with them on the contract between them. What do these events and payloads and component methods look like? Because they have notions of what we call selections and results, and we have the same thing. We both have queries. So there's a lot of places where we can have something that says take this and transform it into this, classic programming 101 type stuff. And that's what will work out so that, hopefully a customer can just drag and drop these things in, say, Lightning App Builder or inside of a Einstein Analytics Studio, and they can make these things sing and dance very nicely. And and if the data is different, we have a ton of really cool tools for actually merging the data. So we could say, point at the data source over here and the data source over here and use our tools to make sure that they're mapped correctly. You have common indexes or you have a formula and that kind of thing. So I think customers will see a lot of great things. It's just taking time to get it figured out. We may start previewing some things over the next release or two, but it's going to take a little while to integrate. But we're committed to it, and we're not going to be dragging this out for release or year over year. I think Mark and on down have said, get these things integrated, get them working. So we're committed.
We'll see more touch points and handshakes along the way.
Exactly. And we're trying to figure out where there's common ground so that there's not this notion of here's Tableau and here's Einstein Analytics, but rather there's Salesforce Analytics, of which there are multiple parts of this platform and customers can use those. And in an ideal world, you won't have to make a big decision. You'll just use the technologies that make sense, much like you do with the platform today, where you can move between various things, different types of flows and components and pages and layouts and all these things. And it'll feel very natural to a Salesforce customer. It won't feel like there's this thing over here hanging off of it. It'll feel like, hey, it's actually part of the whole platform.
Yeah, all the tools in the same toolkit.
Exactly.
So speaking of toolkit, let's go back to Einstein and tell me a little bit about what kind of developer experience is comprising that. What kind of tools and toolkits do we have?
So with Einstein Analytics, traditionally, we have the web-based tools, which are aimed at a data scientist, data analyst, kind of a hardcore business user maybe, mm-hmm. who's going to build out what we call data sets and data flows and dashboards and that sort of thing. So these, you know, map the data, they let you query the data and visualize the data. And that type of user is not typically super technical in a developer sense. They're very technical in an analytics sense. They understand that world, but they don't want to go in and touch a lot of code or even a lot of JSON type config files and so forth.
Right.
But there's a whole developer side which says, we want to take that dashboard or that query and embed it into something else. And that's right. where components and APIs come in. So we've been working on making sure there are SDKs, there's full-on standard Salesforce APIs, and there's all these touch points for you to integrate these things very easily and interact with them. You know, it's not just a dashboard plopped onto a page. It's actually a thing that can interact with everything else on there. So you can mm-hmm. fire events, consume events, you have component methods and so forth. The API is standard Salesforce Connect APIs, so it uses standard OAuth. You're not going into a separate server, you're going mm-hmm. into Salesforce for it. Standard Salesforce metadata. So that made moving into SFDX really easy because we're already in the metadata world. And we've built an analytics plugin to help out with something called analytics templates. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, a template is a way to make our Salesforce packaging work for a dynamic analytics app. And to describe the problem briefly, if you deploy static resources, not literal static resources, but static definitions of dashboards and data sets and that kind of thing,
right?
They don't work in the consumer org because they don't map correctly to the object names and field names and that kind of thing. Hmm. So a template gives you a rule-based mechanism to say, ask the customer questions where you need to determine whether to use this object, or this field, or show this, or don't show this, all these things you want to ask. So you run this little installer wizard that's generated for you, and that actually creates the analytics assets, not directly, literally from the package itself. Right. So it's kind of in between step. And it's actually a pretty cool technology. And it's how we get all of our ISVs and OEMs and our advanced customers to deploy things. So SFDX supports that. You can actually create and manage these things directly from the command line or through VS Code, which is even cooler to me because I love having the IDE where I can, you know, do the things in a more structured fashion. It's a little bit easier, I think, than going to the command line every time.
Right. And is there anything else that somebody would want to pick up? So this is an analytics plugin for the Salesforce CLI, is that correct?
Exactly. Okay. And then a corresponding VS Code extension pack, I think they call it. And that's on the VS Code library, whatever their app store is called, it's actually there.
Got it. So when we're talking about Salesforce DX, we, you know, a lot of people think of it in terms of like, you know, your repos, your source of truth, you use scratch orgs in order to do your development and your testing, and then you push into production. But what kind of challenges does analytics and maybe in particular like big data present to that kind of cycle?
So where that gets interesting is we have customers that have such large data sets, the data set being the representation of the data in analytics, that they can't get that into a sandbox easily or into a scratch org. There's no way to say, let's go make a test environment, make our changes there, and then push it back to production. One customer in the UK spends about a week every time they want to load their data in there. It's
that wow. massive.
You know, and these, you know, we talk about billions of rows, and we're not kidding. We handle, I think, up to 10 billion now. So it's a massive amount compared to, you know, a standard force.com installation. But getting that data in is not just a simple matter of loading it in bit by bit. You're actually transforming it, creating everything. So it takes a while to get it all in there, obviously. It's just a physical yeah. thing. So the challenge there is you can't easily say, just go deploy this into the scratch org and make your changes and test it and then roll it out there. You know, so we've had to come up with some solutions that give you some of the features of the repo, but in the Salesforce org. And that may sound counter to what everybody wants to do, but it's just acknowledging this is the way our customers work and they right. come forward when it comes to satisfying it.
Nice. Are there any links that we have to like any other clouds, like if somebody wanted to use Azure or something like that?
So you can today use external sources, external services and clouds with Einstein Analytics. pretty much in the same way you do the rest of the platform, because it's all APIs. And I hate to say open APIs, because you still have to have OAuth tokens and that kind of thing. We're under the full Salesforce security. We're in the data center, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it all is accessible. So you can do everything from running a query from, you know, say Azure or some other cloud, up to embedding components. You know, you can use Lightning Out, for example, one of my favorite things. You can embed those directly into the remote sites.
Yeah.
So it becomes really easy to work with things. And we do have customers that work that way. You know, they have their own existing site. They want to bring analytics into it, and they don't necessarily want their customers logging into Salesforce directly. Mm-hmm. So we support the same mechanisms as the platform in terms of OAuth and that sort of thing. So I show demos all the time using, you know, Christopher's library for logging and that stuff, you know, the
gotcha.
AS-Force type thing.
So it kind of goes down the standard path of integration, but it has a very pretty face.
Exactly.
Nice. So let's just talk a little bit about the persona of like this developer itself. Like, are we like, what, how would you define like a data dev?
Define a data dev. So you mean an analytics data developer?
Yeah. So like the person who's going to be putting this analytics plugin into Salesforce CLI.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the people who are using the CLI and the VS Code are oftentimes more of a traditional Salesforce developer who may or may not even have a lot of analytics background. They're building out the components and, you know, using the APIs. And they treat the analytics engine as other types of data. You know, it's a component I want to display, or it's a query result I want to use. And then they may or may not have a real strong data science background. But oftentimes with analytics, you have somebody on the team who has a data science or data analyst title who really lives for the data side of it. Because that's the area that I'm not real strong in. But the, you know, they live for taking multiple data sets and they transform it into the ideal form for display and, more importantly, for interaction inside there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you click into something, that data is not necessarily a one-to-one mapping to what's originally in Salesforce or some external system. So I have a lot of respect for those developers because they're so different from what I think of as traditional developer role. You know, it's a different type of tech. They're probably more akin to the, you know, data scientists and the quants and that kind of thing that have these genius level ideas of how to deal with big data.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they may not know how to write Java or Apex or JavaScript. It's a different kind of tech mentality.
Well, and picking up on that, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, they're a long-term Salesforce developer and they want to start kind of kicking the tires on this, are there specific skills that are, you know, normal in like Apex and JavaScript that are useful for doing this kind of work?
Oh, yeah. So our Einstein Analytics SDK has a few different parts. So there's a web SDK, which is basically for Lightning. And that includes Lightning components and Lightning events and Lightning component methods, if you've used those. Mm-hmm. And so that developer would need to know, you know, the Lightning components. You know, today it's R. We'll probably do an LWC version at some point. And then they would need to know, obviously, you know, JavaScript and maybe Apex if they're building a controller. And we also have an Apex SDK, which lets you access the queries and some other pieces directly from Apex. Because Apex can get to a lot of things, but a query is tough because it's a call out. Because our engine not running on core. So we've wrapped that with a Apex class with a utility method that will run the query and give you back the results inside of Apex, which is really cool because you can do some transforms there programmatically that you may not be able to do in, say, the standard dashboard markup. Now, yeah. The limit there is, no pun intended, the limit is actually the same limits as Apex. So you can't query a massive, you know, thing and get back billions of rows in Apex processing because Apex has a 27 megabyte heap. But when you need it, it can do some stuff that you couldn't do ordinarily. So the standard Salesforce skills are fine. I don't know that you would need to know anything different than regular Salesforce skills. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you have to understand the analytics tools and the concepts, but they're not that deep for the developer who wants to integrate these things. It's really the people who want to go in and manipulate the data and build out the really amazing visualizations. Those are the ones that get deeper into it.
Right. Nice. Well, and I would think that Apex is also an interesting place that you could have like very specific on the platform interactions.
Oh, exactly. And we actually have tied in via Apex, via platform events, via the various flows, you know, showing that all these things can work together. We support, you know, actions and quick actions. Mm-hmm. We actually support direct SOQL calls, SOQL calls versus analytics SAQL calls. So we have all these direct ways to pull things into dashboards. And the Apex step is one of my favorites because I can actually use that to pull data into an analytics dashboard from anything that Apex can get to. I've got an example. We show PDX for Twitter. So we go to Twitter, pull in tweet data, and we show that in a dashboard real time.
So let's talk a little bit about either stuff that's right on the cusp or moving into the roadmap. What are some upcoming things that you're really excited about?
So one of the things that I'm personally really excited about is not directly for all developers, but it's really aimed more to our partners for the ISV and OEM crowd, which is our, we call it internally the Einstein Analytics Developer License. The official name is going to be the embedded license, and there's three variants. And this makes it really easy for someone to add analytics to their app. And by easy, I mean in terms of both the price point and the technology. Mm-hmm. And what we've done is we've made it so that you can add it to your package, it gets installed, and it will basically run and get configured very easily. But it doesn't give the user full access to all of the power of Einstein Analytics. You don't get access to a lot of the tooling. Your limits are lower and that kind of thing. So we've tried to balance that with a low, you know, cost to the ISV or the OEM with still high value. You know, you still get, I think, a minimum of 25 million rows. You get data flows and dashboards, but the end user is not going to be able to go and build their net new pieces on top of it. It's not a full version of it.
Got it.
And so that's exciting to me. We start rolling that out in the June timeframe, initially for most of the OEM crowd. Long term, we're hoping to get that in the hands of ISV Force. It's not necessarily a general purpose developer piece, but it is something that a lot of our community will appreciate.
Do you think there's like an educational angle to that where more people have access to it and just kind of like kick the tires of everything?
Yeah. In fact, we're going to do some enablement that we're coordinating with some of the developer evangelists on, which is a hackathon in the July timeframe. I'm guessing mid-July. And this will be, you know, the ground rules are basically you have to use this new license. You have to make it deployable into a Scratch org. And it has to be something that the judges or one of their tech helpers can get from a repo. So you have to build it with SFDX, build it with VS Code, build it to this license and these specs. And the judging is going to be acting as if a developer pulls it down, builds it, tests it, runs it, judges it. And then importantly, it has to be packageable and deployable. So we're going to make sure you learn the whole process. And with that, we're going to do some probably weekly office hour type events, maybe webinar type events to help people understand it. So this will be through June, maybe as part of PDX. We'll talk about this a little bit at some point. And then we'll make sure everybody's successful with it. And then you have to make your submission open source. So we're going to put that into a repo that becomes sample for the rest of the community to learn from. So
nice.
I think that'll be pretty exciting. You know, even though it's not for every dev, it's still a pretty cool thing. And it gives you a way to, you know, get your feet wet and use this thing and learn from it.
About, am I saying it right, SOQL?
Yeah, I have a Southern accent, so I have a tough time with this. But I end up saying SOQL, S-O-Q-L, and SACL, S-A-Q-L. And I know that just flies over. So people go, what did you just say? You know, so I spell it out half the time. So.
Nice. Is there any role in SQL, good old SQL itself?
Yes. In fact, SAQL is based on PigQL, which you may be familiar with from the open source world. And we've used that for years in analytics because it can do some things that SOQL, Salesforce Object Query Language, couldn't do really well. Mm-hmm. But we've acknowledged that most of the underlying platforms and most of the world do SQL. And so we're going to be supporting that directly. And you'll be able to put SQL calls in there as peers to the SAQL calls and use that. And it'll be a fairly standard form of SQL.
Okay, so what is the coolest project that you have either done or seen running on top of Einstein Analytics?
The coolest that I've seen, of late, there's been some pretty cool stuff around the, the coronavirus, the COVID stuff. And people were able to get these things up and running pretty quickly. I was amazed at that. But long-term, probably one of my favorites, and this gets to my fact that I love mechanized things, you know, motorsports and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We did some stuff for the Indy 500 team. So we had a entire set of analytics, and the driver was actually using these things to compare himself to other drivers. And he was, you know, tweeting about it and doing all kinds of cool stuff there. So that was probably one of the neatest, you know, examples of its use.
That's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask Skip about his favorite non-technical hobby, and it turns out, yes, a lot of people are getting outdoors and have a lot of time on their hands.
Of late, riding dirt bikes with my son. I've got a 11-year-old. We got dirt bikes for Christmas, and we go out and ride on basically what they call OHV and SVRA trails. It's off-highway vehicle and state vehicular recreation area trails, nice. As well as tracks. And so I've been loving that. And a funny side note, during the quarantine time, the work at home time, I've had 2 months to work on a trailer to haul these dirt bikes around in. And I've gone to town with painting and bolting and stuff and cutting and doing electrical work.
Yeah.
It's, and I'm like, I thought this was going to be like a week-long project. I didn't know I had 2 months on it. So that's been a good diversion from the day-to-day work type stuff.
My thanks to Skip for the great conversation. Of course, my thanks to you for listening. Now, if you want to learn more about this podcast, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old shows, see the show notes, and have links to your favorite podcast service. I'll talk to you next week.